Session number 31699, Reel 7.
How busy was Aidan in terms of as the porton?
Not very busy. Nothing much went on there. There were a couple of hotels, small hotels, a few shops. Not much there at all. Not much. Just a barren place. There was a gardens in Steamer Point. I think it was called the Victoria Gardens. Queen Victoria. There was a big statue of Queen Victoria in the gardens. And they were beautifully kept. And it was all irrigated from one point. There were channels about that wide going all the way around the gardens. And they I think it was every day they turned the taps on, and this went down and kept all the plants alive. It was a super irrigation system. It worked well too, by the look of the plants. That was at Steamer Point. But as I said before, it was only a staging post for India. There was a small warehouse there, which was, they called it a go-down, which I think is that's the term for a small warehouse, I think. That's all there was there, not much else at all. But, you can make your own amusements in a place like that, sightseeing, when you got the opportunity. I was never bored, and I forced myself out in the afternoons to see these places. There was the governor's house. As I say, you could watch the, see the dows being built. See, go down and see the vessels in the harbour. It was all right. In education. Well, now the demob numbers started to come up. My number was 50. And I sort of waited. What number are we up to today? I used to say, oh, we're up to 44, you know. And you went to 45, 6, 7, 8, gets to 9. You think, oh, lovely. Won't be long now. 50 came, 51 came, 52 came, 53 came. I thought, well, what the hell's going on here? And I thought, right, that's it. I'm not doing any more work here. I put my best KD on and sat in the packing case. CO came out. And with his entourage, what are you doing there, airman? I said, I'm waiting to go home. I said, I'm not working for this lot anymore. I said, I'm a civilian now. I said, my demob number number 50, and it's gone. I said, I consider myself a civilian. Well, I wasn't put on a charge, but I wasn't. Oh, we'll look into it. Then another one came up, another number came up, there's still no movement. So I wrote home. I said, this is not good, can you do anything from your end? And my mother wrote to the our local MP. He took it up with And it was mentioned in Parliament, apparently. And Lord Henderson of the Air Council got as far as him. And he said, Ayrman's completed his overseas tour and was to be home with, was to be posted home without delay. Poor, that did it. Get out, pack your stuff, be down the orderly room. And that did it. Then I thought to myself, now, what ship are we on? And I thought, what ship will I be on? Hope I'm not in that dirty old boat down in the docks. I could just see it. There was one lamp going in one part of it, and I thought, my godfathers, what if I go home on that? Dear, oh dear, guess what? I did go home on it. It was the old Ascanius, blue funnel line, I think it was, making its last journey to the breaker's yard. And there was no heating on board. We didn't want it at Aden, of course. No heating on board. Drafty. Lived in hammocks. Slept in hammocks. Food. Boiled potatoes and bully beef. That's all I remember for the food. In fact, when I got home, I couldn't lift my kit bag. I was so weak. It took I can't remember how long it took. It took about 4 or 5 weeks, I think, to get home. Doing about 5 knots an hour, I think, something like that. It was an old coal burner. And of course, you had to refuel at Aden. And there were, I think there were 2 barges alongside, laden with coal. And this coal had to be shifted into the bunkers on the steamer by native labour, in these big buckets with the V-type thing for lifting, you know. And they were shoveling day and night, shoveling this coal out of the barge into these buckets, and then the buckets were transferred over to the ship. We eventually got away. As I say, dreadful boat. I can remember lying in the bunk in the mornings. He woke up fairly early, and he gradually got colder and colder. And came back in 1947, and it's still considered to be one of the worst winters. And I was perished after Aden. It was dreadful. Well, anyway, used to wake up in the morning and watch the rats going down the girders, and they'd disappear behind the life belts. Where they went after that, I'll never know. Anyway, one of the officers, he went for a haircut by one of the shipmates, you know, and he said, "What a dreadful boat this is." He said, "It's riddled with rats." "Yeah, there's no rats on this ship," he said. "What do you think that is?" He showed him his peak cap. There was no peak on it. Rats had eaten it all. Kit bags had the bottoms eaten out of them. It was, and there were ants on board. You'd find ants in your mug in the morning. Cockroaches up the table legs, everywhere. But there was an upside. Coming across the Bay of Biscay is a bit notorious, so I hear. In our case, very notorious. It was choppy, Oh, my goodness gracious. Folks were leaning over the side, see? Not me. Never affected me at all. I'm down the boat, you know. I just accepted it. And I used to go round and say to them, you want some bully beef? No, thank you. So, right. That was the only time I had a decent meal, going across the Bay of Biscay. I like bully beef, funnily enough, but it really was a bad ship. As I say, it was in the next trip was the breaker's yard. I went down the boiler room to see what was going on, pass of time, you know. And they couldn't get rid of the ash. I think there's some way the ash can be pumped out to the side of the ship or something. And it all gone wrong. And they put a mountain of ash down there. You never see anything like it. The men stuck in the boilers were absolutely clambering over this ash. Health and safety? Well, they'd never untied from the dockside if we'd had health and safety now. Anyway, got home. Where did I put off at? Liverpool somewhere, I think it was. Yeah, Mersey Docks. Then I still got posted to another MT unit. It was unbelievable. And again, I refused to work. Anyway, it soon sorted out. I went back to Morecambe 3D Mob. I'm not sure, actually, Morecambe or Blackpool. Might have been, I don't know. Collected my suit, hat, signed off, went home. And I had about 8 weeks leave, entitlement, before I returned to Lloyd's Bank. They tried to get me back. They said, you don't want 8 weeks holiday, do you? I said, I'll never get another chance like this again. I took the lot. They didn't like it. There you are.
Was your job at Lloyd's held for you?
Yes. I was taken on immediately as permanent staff. So, all ended well. Nearly 44 years with them. And a nice pension. Couldn't wish for more.
How did you find the atmosphere in the post-war atmosphere in Britain on your return?
Oh, I don't know really. It never occurred to me. I just went back to the bank, and after my 8 weeks holiday, things were much the same. All amongst the bombed buildings, of course. Our branch, I was in the overseas division of Lloyd's Bank in the city, and our place didn't get touched. Where a lot of the top floor was propped up with great balks of timber, and then they put a shingle across the flat roof. So if any incendiaries came down, they wouldn't penetrate. Or we hope they wouldn't. But, so I settled in again all right. Worked my way up through the grades. Ended as a assistant manager. Running my own patch.
Had you been able to take part in the 1945 elections?
Yeah. I had an idea. I did postal vote, and I think a lot of fiddling went on. A lot of fiddling with the forms. A lot of forms disappeared in favour of Labour, I think it was. So I heard, anyway. I don't know how true it is. But, there we are, that's my story.
Had you been particularly politically minded?
I am, in a way. I think now we want to change the government. Give somebody else a go. I think I made a bit of a cock up at everything now. I've spent all the money, got everything into debt. And what's going to happen next, I don't know.
Was that the same in the among the population in the years after the war, that the government needed to change?
Yes, I think so, yes. Because during the war, it was, what do they call it? It wasn't Labour or Conservative or the Liberal. It was coalition government. But in a way, I think we can do with that now. You know, pick the brains of the best people, if there are any. All the load of shysters, if you ask me. In it for what they can get out of it. Fiddling expenses. Well, God forbid. You think of what they earn, they've got the audacity to claim thousands in their taxi fares and things like that. How they can get away with it baffles me at times.
You'd mentioned that you didn't want to stay on as an RAF regular, but was there any question of staying as being a territorial or?
No, on no, not at all. No, I wasn't asked or anything. Just give me a suit and hat and work, you know, goodbye. No. In a way, I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
What had you been doing on VE Day?
VE Day? No idea. Can't remember.
What had been your attitude at the time towards the Germans?
Nothing really. No, nothing. I think most of us were like that. We had a job to do, just got on with it. Might have been very different if I'd been up the front line or something like that. You know, and being in the thick of it, if you like. I might have. Yeah. Had a very different attitude towards them. But when you're sort of backroom boys, you just get on with your job. That was it.
Were you, did you feel you were sort of properly recognised and appreciated by the rest of the army, the air force and forces, for the work you've been doing?
No, I don't think so. It's just a job, and got my blummer came up. That was it. Thank you. Goodbye. There was any more than that. They paid you what they owed you, and as in my case, 8 weeks holiday and. Back to Civvy Street.
How did you spend the holiday?
remember. Don't know what I did, quite frankly, because my father wasn't well at the time, so probably just potted about at home, glad to be home.
And how do you view the war as a whole now?
In which way?
Well, in the sort of the
compared with the present war.
No, I mean its effect on society as a whole and on your own life and its influence and impact.
Well, in my own case, I lost of my youth because you were bundled in at the deep end. You're 18 and a half when you join, and living a comfortable life at home. And you suddenly swept away and you were on your own. You rise or fall by your own endeavours. You basically look after yourself, got nobody else to go to. No help from anybody, except if you're ill, you go and see the MO, or you just had to sort of sort everything out for yourself. You've got nobody to ask other than your mates. But do a lot of the youngsters are good to get into conscription. Sorry, my throat's going a bit. But I'm sure a lot of the youth of today would benefit from conscription. Certain of it. There you are. The powers that be know best. But I don't think it affected me in any way. I had no problems abroad, no fighting, no nothing. It was a cook's tour, if you like.
It's not something that you have any sort of resentment for? Or?
Nothing at all. I was glad I went there. But I would have liked a little more comfort, but it was an education. I can't say more than that. Really, it was, except for the living on the canvas and some of the bad food you had, and quite enjoyed it.